I love worship. I enjoy worship so much because I can take my eyes off my little tiny life and look at God for a little while and just be enamored by Him. Be enamored by Him. And I am so grateful for a team that keeps pointing us to God with excellence and with joy and having fun while they do it even. I love that about you guys. Thanks. So today we're going to continue our series on God's self-portrait. And every week we've been doing this, we've really talked about names of God as He revealed about Himself. That's why we called it God's self-portrait, right? But this week we're going to change it up just a bit, even though we're finishing up the series on God's self-portrait. And we're going to take a look at how God was revealed in the eyes of two men, Moses and Gideon. And I think you're going to enjoy it and get blessed by it as I have this week in my study of it. It's a little bit different, but I think it's interesting to think about because what I found myself wondering this week as I was studying is, what kind of portrait of God am I painting for those around me? What kind of portrait of God am I painting for those around me? Because as you'll see today, these two men made a declaration about God. God is my banner. God is my peace. And that's what they wanted everyone around them to know. And so I asked myself the question, Sandy, what portrait of God are you painting for those who are watching you? What image of God are you portraying? And so I want you to consider that today as we look at this topic together. So the first one I want to look at is the banner. If you want to follow along, there's a note page in your program and it has blanks on it. If you want to fill in the blanks, the answers will be up on the screen. It's just a way for you to kind of know where I'm going and what I'm doing and what's up. And if you are a guest with us today, in the same program, you'll see a connection card. If you would take maybe 60 seconds and fill out, especially the back portion that says my first impressions, this really helps us know how we are doing in presenting a good experience for you today as you come to church. And we just like to hear from you on what your thoughts are on those three things. If you want to fill out the front part, the personal information, we'll just send you a letter saying thanks for coming. If you don't want to fill that out, don't worry. But we promise not to hassle you if you do. We won't show up at your door. We won't knock on your door. We won't call you without, you know, you asking us to or anything like that. But we'd like to hear from you. And then when you're done with that, take it back to the guest table where you see the red gift bags. And someone, are Bob and Suzanne here today? I don't, maybe Doug and Rhonda, could you guys go back there at the end and greet people and give them gifts in exchange for their connection cards? Can you handle that? Be Santa? Pass out the gifts? Okay, thanks. So today, as we're going to talk about this, the banner is the first point. The banner, God's portrait of Himself, but as through the eyes of Moses, is the banner. Point A, the first thing I want us to notice is that sometimes battles follow miracles. Sometimes battles follow miracles. This might be a shocker to some of us, but if you've ever had a baby, you know it's true. Because you experience the birth in the hospital and you're like, wow, what a miracle. And you have no idea for the battles that are ahead. Right? Now, it's still worth it. It's still very much worth it. And it's still a miracle. But there are some battles. The first battle is just to get some sleep. Right? That's the first battle. Just please let me sleep. And there are many more to come. But some of us, we think somehow that is if there's a miracle, then that must be a spiritual high point and there's not going to be any hard times ahead, right? And that's just not the way it works. In this story here, we find in Exodus 17:6 from the New International Version this week. It says this, I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb, strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. What was happening is they were in a desert. Some of you know they're also called the wilderness, but it was really a desert. And they were very thirsty, and the people were starting to grumble and complain. And why did God bring us out to the desert just so he could kill us off one by one? And wah, 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 constantly from about a million people. Don't be pointing fingers, John Heisman. I see you. Hey. And so God said, okay, Moses, go on over to that rock at the Mount of Horeb, and I will stand beside you, and all you got to do is strike the rock, and water's going to come pouring out enough to satisfy all of the people. That is a miracle that still blows. I mean, can you imagine how you would react if when I struck that, water came gushing out of it? Can you imagine the miracle? And it would only be as much of a miracle if you were all extremely thirsty. Thirsty to the point that your tongues are swollen and your lips are cracked. That was a miracle. And so you would think there would be this great celebration. Wow, God loves us. This is unbelievable. He took care of us. He gave us water when we needed. But the very next verse listed there, it's interesting, is chapter 17, verses 8 through 13. We're going to read that. But the point B is success requires obedience, unity, and teamwork. Success requires obedience, unity, and teamwork. Because the Amalekites show up. And to you and me, the Amalekites aren't saying anything to us, right? We don't really know anything about the Amalekites. Well, what I learned this week in my study is the Amalekites were known as a very fierce nomadic tribe. Nomadic means they didn't live in one particular area, as you know, probably. They would travel from area to area. But what they were known for is they took pleasure in killing. They enjoyed it. It wasn't just, let's have a battle for the sake of peace or taking territory, because they didn't care about territory. They just liked to kill for the fun of it. And then when they would kill for the fun of it, they would take all the goods from the people, the food, the gold, the whatever they had, they would take it and plunder them and then take off and go somewhere else and find somebody else to kill and plunder. So when the Amalekites showed up and attacked the Israelites, this was a big deal. Now, the Israelites have just seen water come gushing out of this rock. They've just tasted the water that God has provided, and all of a sudden, the Amalekites show up and attack them, and they're like, whoa, what happened? They attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Verse 9, Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men to go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. The same staff that they have just seen him use to strike the rock. Now, he's going to hold this staff in his hands. Okay? And it says he held it up above his head, like this. Verse 10, so Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. There we see obedience. Joshua said, you tell me to fight, I'm fighting. There's obedience there. If you're going to have success in any undertaking, there's going to have to be some people who are willing to do what they're told. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he got tired and lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. So he could keep his hands up, right? Teamwork, obedience, teamwork, and unity. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. What I find in that story that's so interesting is that success couldn't take place without Moses holding up the staff, but it couldn't have taken place without Joshua fighting the battle either. It required everybody working together. It required all of them working together in order to have success. Some people, you know, think of that. You think of it and you think, what was happening is this staff became a symbol to the people because they knew the power that was in this. They had heard the story of this turning into a snake in Pharaoh's court. They had heard the story of many other miracles wrought with this staff. And then they had just seen this staff strike the rock and water come gushing out. And so whenever the fighters would look at that staff, they would say, okay, we're together here. It was a symbol to them that God's power was with them. But it was also a symbol of entreaty. That's why most people think of Aaron and Hur as a prayer ministry, because it was a symbol of entreaty to God. God, we need you. We're counting on you. We're counting on you to be here with us at this time. When that happened, Moses painted a portrait of God because of his experience. And the portrait was this, point C, God is the banner. God is the banner. The Hebrew word for banner is nis, N-E-C, nis. And it means something lifted up, a standard, a signal pole, a signal pole. A banner lifts up, keeps together. It's a rallying point. We find this in Exodus 17, 14 through 15, where it says, then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered. And I love that he says this, and make sure Joshua hears it. Make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. Yahweh Nisi. Yahweh Nis. Yahweh Nisi is the verb translation there. Yahweh Nisi, or Nis, the Lord is my banner. Okay, how many of you wore team jerseys? Because I ask you to wear team jerseys. Stand up if you wore a team jersey. All right, okay. Doug, you did not. Oh. Okay, so what is this? Tell me what this is, guys. I don't even know. New Zealand rugby. All right. All right. Okay. Anybody want to cheer for the New Zealand? Okay. Jerry, you have Ohio State here. Yeah. Judy has the Cleveland Browns. All right. Willie?
Buffalo.
Oh. Okay, who do we have over here?
Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers. We got the Browns. We got Ohio State. And we got
Minnesota Vikings.
All right. Oh, and we have Green Bay Packers that just escaped out the back. You notice what happened when we said everyone's favorite team? You cheered, right? And when we said a team that you didn't like, everybody's like, boo, right? A jersey is like a banner. Don't you see that? A jersey has the same effect as a banner. And what God saw here was, or what Moses saw here, is that God is my banner. Because baby, the Browns are going to let me down. And baby, the Steelers are going to let you down too. But God is never going to let me down. Now you can see I'm not much of a sports person, because that's why I didn't wear a jersey. I just can't get into it. Although I'm really excited whenever any team has a Christian, an outspoken Christian playing, like McCoy is right now. I'm like, yeah! So I'm suddenly cheering for the Browns, only because he's an outspoken Christian, and I love to see outspoken Christians succeed, you know? So take that, you Steelers. But the point is, God is all of our banners. We don't have to be divided under that banner. Moses said, God is my banner. He didn't say, I am my banner. He said, God is my banner. And if I could communicate one thing about God is my banner to you guys, it's this. There is no one person that is the foundation of Oak River Church. We do not look to a woman and we don't look to a man. God is our banner. He has made himself very, very clear in the first 7.5 years of our existence. He is our banner and no one else is. No one else is. God is our banner. Let's let him be our rallying point. Let's let him be the one we get behind and go, go God. Yes, God is awesome. And he's the one who brings us together. And he's the one who doesn't divide us. He's the one that we can get behind and say, no matter what, he's always faithful. And this is the picture that Moses painted of God for us. And the reason I know that God liked it is because it stood around for 3,000 years, however long it's been since the Bible was written. It stood the test of time. God said, we're letting that stay because I like that picture Moses painted of me, and I'm going to let that stay. I like being called the banner. You see, just as we had people cheering and booing in those days, the Israelites were accustomed to seeing their banner, their family banner raised, and they knew to get under that banner, and that was their place of organization and safety and fighting and whatever. They did, they were going to do it together. If they were celebrating, they did it together. So when Moses said, God is my banner, Yahweh Nisi, Yahweh Nis, God goes, yep, I like that. I like that picture he just painted of me, so I'm going to let that stay. What's the next picture we see of God painted? The peace. Oh, I love this one. As much as I love that God is my banner and I can get under his banner, and in his banner I find everything I need, a rallying point, a comforting point, an organizational point, everything I need I can find in that banner. But I also love that God is our peace. Point number A, God sees our situation differently than we do. Now we're going to look at Gideon. And the background of this story is that the Israelites, this is many years later, the Israelites once again have walked into disobedience over and over and over again. And they've chased after other gods. And God has allowed this group called the Midianites to come after them and be pretty brutal with them. And I think we've talked about this before with Gideon. And so it was so bad that Gideon was hiding out in a pit, basically trying to press out some wines for some grapes for wine. He was in a wine press. And he was hiding out in there, and this is what happened. Judges 6, 11 through 13. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah, not to be confused with Oprah. Yeah, that's actually where she got her name from, I understand. The mom just spelled it wrong. Ophrah, that belonged to Joash and Abizarite, I don't know, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." I love Gideon's response. He goes, pardon me, my Lord. But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. God sees our situation differently than we do. It's kind of like these optical illusions I'm going to have Ron show you. There's some pictures I want you to look at, and I want you to tell me what you see. What do you see? A vase? Two faces. Well, which is it? It's both. There's two faces. There's one here and there's one here. Then if you look at the white part, there's a vase, right? Some of you can see the faces. Some of you can see the vase. Some of you can see both. Some of you can probably see neither. But God sees our situation differently than I do. Now let's look at the next one, Ron. What do you see there? A face. Well, I see the word liar. Uh-huh. There's a whole message just in that picture. God sees things differently than we do. Next one, Ron. Okay, what do you see here? An Indian head. Does anybody see anything differently? Eskimo, thank you. Ethan does because he's got the cue cards last night, right? See the Eskimo? Here's his little fur on his hood. And he's standing back. This is his back right here. This is his arm, his hand. Looks like he's painting the wall. See? You didn't see that till it was pointed out to you probably, right? Okay, what's the next one, Ron? What do you see here? Yeah, exactly. A bunch of straight lines. These lines are parallel. They don't look like it, do they? But they're completely, perfectly parallel. Don't they look crooked? They look like they're wavy, but they are actually parallel lines. And it's hard to see it until you get a ruler out, actually, and put a ruler up against the page. Seriously. You see, sometimes we're in a situation where everything looks crooked and messed up and confused. And God says, oh, no, no, things are lining up just like I planned them to line up. We don't see it. If you want the hard copy, you can have the hard copy afterwards. It'll be easier to see. Some of you are still wigged out by that. They're actually perfectly straight. Okay, what's the next one, Ron? Okay, what do you see here? It's like a bird with something in its mouth, a little, I don't know, creature, something in its mouth. Okay, but if you flip it upside down, what happens? Looks like an upside down bird to me. Doesn't it? I couldn't figure it out, but they kept telling me that there was something there. So Ethan finally pointed it out for me. Here's some trees. This is the horizon. This is an island. This guy is in a canoe, and he's caught this big, giant fish. Yeah. I didn't see it. I'm like, Yeah, are there any more? Is that it? Okay. You see, sometimes we think we see things, and we think we understand the way things are. And God says, I see things differently than you. Gideon's going, how can you say the Lord is with us? Because after all, we're getting beat up to the point that I'm having to hide out in a pit to protect the grapes from the Midianites stealing them. And you're telling me God is with me? Are you kidding me? You've lost your mind. This is a mess. And the Lord says, no, it's not a mess. It's just what I've set up. Point B, God is more concerned. Now, don't let this get you wigged out. God is more concerned with empowering you than correcting your self-image. And all the psycho people went, what? What? We see it in Judges 6, 15 through 16, because Gideon goes on to say, "Pardon me, my Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." Talk about a self-image situation here. Gideon said, "How can you say I'm going to save Israel because my clan is the weakest in all of Israel and I'm a mess? And all I can see is what I can see. Can't see the staff. I'm going to trip over the staff. All I can see is my weakness right here. That's it. That's all I can see." And most of us, if somebody said that to us, if somebody said to you, "How can I do anything? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the littlest in my family." Most of us would say, "Oh no, you're a good person. You've got a good heart." And we would spend the next hour trying to correct their self-image. Hear me. I know, because I've tried to do this to myself and to my kids. And here, God does not either say, "You're right, you're a crumb." Neither does he say, "Oh, you're a great person." He doesn't even address the whole self-image thing. You know why? Because he doesn't want him to be looking in a mirror. He wants to give the guy a sword. And you can't hold a sword and a mirror at the same time. And if we don't have a society that's obsessed with looking in a mirror, I don't know what we have. I will take responsibility for myself. I get so consumed with what I see in the mirror. And I don't mean just my physical appearance. I mean my weaknesses, my flaws, my failures, my this, my that, my strengths. I get so obsessed with that that I am so busy looking in a mirror that I don't have time to pick up a sword. The Lord answered. I love his answer. Love his answer. He doesn't say, "You're a good boy, Gideon." He says, "I will be with you." What do you need to know? I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. What I hear him saying is, put down the mirror and pick up the sword. Put down the mirror and pick up the sword, Gideon, because I'm with you and you are going to succeed. Point number C, God is the peace. In Judges 6, 23 through 24, this was a few verses later, and Gideon has finally put together that he's seen an angel of the Lord, and he's like, whoa, he's terrified. Gideon definitely had some self-image issues, but I'm so glad he did, because it makes me relate to him a little bit more. He says in verse 23, "But the Lord said to him, 'Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die.'" First he says, "I will be with you." Then he says, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." Because Gideon is convinced, uh-oh, I've seen the angel of the Lord, so I'm going to die. That thing that I thought was going to bring destruction on me, no. God says, "No, you're not going to die. You're not going to be hurt by this vision. But I give you peace in place of that. I give you peace." That word peace, the Hebrew word probably most of you know, starts with an S. Shalom, right? Thank you. Very good. If I had my candy this week, I'd throw you a piece of candy. Shalom. And what that means is completeness, soundness, welfare, safety. It means undisturbed, untroubled well-being. Does that mean Gideon didn't have to fight any battles? No. He had to fight lots of battles. If you read the rest of the story, there's quite a few battles that he had to face. But he did it with the peace of God. You see, we've exchanged peace to mean something that it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you don't have to fight. It doesn't mean there's no battles. It means in the middle of the battle, in the middle of the circumstance where you see the wavy lines and they tell you they're straight, but they look wavy to you. In the middle of that, God can have you undisturbed and untroubled in the middle of that. What it means is you will have all the blessings you need for your own well-being and for the task I'm giving you to do. That's what God was saying. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is peace." The Lord is peace. I love this picture that Gideon painted of God. I love that he called him Yahweh Shalom. Yahweh Shalom. You notice that he doesn't say, and neither did Moses say, God brings a banner with him or God brings peace with him. They both said, God is my banner. God is my peace. Some of us, we keep grasping for peace and we're wondering why there's no peace in our lives. And we think if just the circumstances will line up the way we think they're supposed to line up, then we'll have peace. And God says, no, I want to give you peace in the middle of the battle. Even when you can't see the picture I'm painting, when you can't understand what I am doing, I have my peace for you that will keep you untroubled and undisturbed. But I am telling you now from my own personal experience, you will not have this peace as long as you're trying to control the outcome. You won't. The peace comes from knowing that God is the one who controls the outcome. He knows the future. He can see the whole big picture differently than we can. And he has it all right in his hands. And that's where the peace comes in. The peace that lets you put your head on your pillow at night and go, good night. That peace. God is your peace. God is your peace. God is your banner. God is your rallying point. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for these portraits of yourself that you allowed to be passed down through Moses and Gideon. And God, help us, every single one of us, God, help us to ask ourselves the question, what portrait of God are we painting for those around us? What picture are we painting for those around us, God? I pray that we would take our cues from Moses and Gideon. We would take our cues from the things you said about yourself. You are the strong one. You are that you are, God. Help us to go from those cues and learn about you so that we can paint an accurate picture of you. And help us to know that just like Moses and Gideon went through what could be termed one of the worst situations of their lives, but at the end of it, they came out knowing you in a new way. God, help us to see that no matter what we're going through right now, that if we can come out on the other side, seeing a new side of you and pointing a new picture of you, painting a new picture of you, then it's going to be worth it. And so help us to see the things that you see. Help us to understand the things that you do and help us to get under your banner, Lord, to get under your banner and enjoy the peace there. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.